All right, turn with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. One of the misconceptions that Christians have sometimes is that when we come to the Lord, we give Him our life, and then we begin to follow His plan and His purpose for our life. Sometimes we think that in following His plan and purpose, there will be no problems. There will be no challenges. There will be no difficulties. And that simply isn't what the Bible tells us. That Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulations. And in the will of God, sometimes we will go through a storm. Jesus told His disciples, let's go to the other side. They weren't in disobedience. They hadn't done anything wrong. And while they were following the will of God, a storm arose. And so if we want everything to be perfect, if we want everything to be peaceful and there's no struggle, there will be a day, and that's called heaven. But while we have breath and while we do the will of God, we're going to face situations sometimes based on the fact that we live in a fallen world. And as we are following the will of God, not everyone wants that to happen. There's resistance. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says there is a God, small g, small god of this world, of this age, all right? Our enemy, Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion. And unfortunately, he's got a lot of people who yield to him and who listen to him and are dominated by him. But thank God, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, all right? So as we follow the will and the plan of God, and as we meet opposition, and as we go through tough times, God gives us a command for the tough times. All right. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recalling and recounting the journey that has taken place up to that point. Okay. And he's talking about kind of the ups and downs and all the things that God has brought them through and some of the mistakes that they made. And so let's pick this up in Deuteronomy 1:19. It says, so we departed from Horeb and went through all that great, terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites. As the Lord our God had commanded us, then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Okay, can you see the problem already? So the Lord our God is giving us these mountains. The problem is they belong to the Amorites. And they don't want to relinquish them. Verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God your fathers has spoken to you. And notice this command. Do not fear or be discouraged. Tell your neighbor, don't fear. Tell your other neighbor, don't be discouraged. All right, so these are commands from the Lord. And any command that He gives us, that means we can do it. We can do it with His strength. And we are responsible to get it done. All right, so two things. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. So that means that these are two different things. All right, that there is fear that is in a sense kind of a reverse or perverse form of faith. Faith sees the future with God and God's promises in it and takes steps and has joy about what's coming. Fear is the opposite. It hasn't happened yet, but we'll go ahead and be depressed and cry and take steps away from God's plan. All right. So we are not to fear, but it also says, don't be discouraged. If they were the same thing, He wouldn't have to say them twice, right? He wouldn't say, don't fear and don't fear. So there is a separate command that we are not to be discouraged. And I want to talk to you today about don't be discouraged. And it is a command that we see over and over again in God's word. All right. And many, many times it is linked with fear. It's a Hebrew word. All right. And it's spelled C-H-A-T-H-A-T-H. All right. I believe it's pronounced somewhere close to Kathath. I'm sure that's wrong. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, I apologize. Okay. But it's a word, and sometimes it's translated discourage. Other times it's translated dismay. Sometimes it's translated broken down. All right. Fallen. And it's this word that connotates, and literally what the root of the word means, it means to be prostrate, all right? To lay down. It means that you are inactive and that you're not moving anywhere. Okay, so what happens when we're discouraged is we stop. And all of the plan of God and all of the purpose of God takes motion. It takes activity. Faith always causes us to do something. Faith always causes us to go forward with God. All right? Discouragement causes us to do the opposite. It stops us in our tracks. All right? Now, when we think of discouragement, it is also those things that sap the courage out of us. Okay, now, let's be honest, but you know, in the last week, few months, this year, how many of us have faced situations or challenges in our life, and when we face them, what happened on the inside of us is we got discouraged. How many of you have faced discouragement in 2013? All right, and we certainly know what that feels like. All right, so the Bible says many times that God gives us this admonition not to be discouraged. And it's interesting that he never gives us this admonition when everything is peaceful, perfect, when all, you know, everything is working. He gives us this admonition when his people are in a mess or they are about to face a huge challenge, because he knows that they can't succumb to discouragement. Look at 1 Samuel 17. All right. And we want to look at different instances where either God gave us this word, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged, or his people yielded to that. All right. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, it says, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder." All right. So just the upper portion of his body, that the armor weighed more than many women in this auditorium. Okay. Let's keep reading. This guy's big, and he's got big stuff. Verse 7, the shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. All right, so just the tip of the spear weighed like a bowling ball. Okay, this guy's massive. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and all the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. That word deeply shaken is kathaf, discouraged, dismayed. All right, what we see in this account is when Goliath was taunting them, most of the time the children of Israel were hiding in their tents. Isn't it interesting sometimes in life, instead of facing a challenge, we run away from a challenge? And have you ever discovered this, that whenever you get out of the tent after a month or so, the challenge is still there and it got bigger? During that time, it had time to do more. All right, so these guys, what they saw and what they heard sapped them of their courage. Because most of these are warriors. These are people in an army. And there's been times in their lives where they faced the enemy. But this seemed too big. The odds were too overwhelming. And they yielded to discouragement. Now we know that David came in these subsequent verses. And he saw what was going on. And he said, "Hey, let me have a chance at this guy." All right. And one of the reasons that David did not act discouraged is he said this: "I have killed a lion and I've killed a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like them." Will be like what? Will be like the lion and the bear. See, David was given an assignment by his dad to be a shepherd. And if the sheep had to be protected. And so when a lion came, that's my job. And so imagine this, a teenage kid killed a lion by himself. A teenage kid killed a bear by himself. So this is David, who in a sense has blood on his hands. He has experience in his past. He's already acted in courage. And what, now that he faces something else, he can do the same thing again. Now, this is just a bit of a side thought. But moms and dads, let your kids do dangerous things. Yeah. Within the realm of reason. All right? But you've got to let them take risks. You've got to let them kill a lion and a bear. Now, I'm not talking about South Luangwa Park or Kafue Park, all right? But you've got to let them face stuff in life. Because David, when he spoke, he wasn't just talking about faith that he had in God, but David had experience with David. And he knew, I can do this. God and I have done it once, twice, and we can do this today. Amen? And sometimes parents, they want to protect their kids from everything. And what they do is they actually then produce a child that is so soft and is so weak, when they enter the challenging world, they just fall down. And they are instantly discouraged because they've never faced anything in life. Parents, don't do that. Especially moms. Hallelujah. Because you have that instinct. You want to protect your kids. Sure, protect them. But let them scuff up their knees. Let them face the bully. Let them do tough things. Let them be challenged and watch what happens in their life. All right? And so thank God David had that in his life. Now, this challenge and this admonition from the Lord not to be discouraged, the person that we see God give this to more than anyone in Scripture is a guy named Joshua. All right? And Joshua was someone who served with Moses. And so all the 40 years that the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, whenever it came time for a battle, Joshua was the field general. Okay? Moses, we see up on the mountain giving direction. There were people next to him, but Joshua was the one mixing it up. God had anointed him for that. All right? And so when it came time to transition, Joshua was the perfect person to take Israel across the Jordan. Because what's across the Jordan are cities, people, giants, challenges. On the way to the will of God, in the path of God's destiny for Israel, were humongous challenges. And don't think that when you're going to be any different than God's people, that as you walk, there will be challenges. And there will be things that you have to face. So, he's getting encouragement. Moses is telling him what he must do. Deuteronomy 31. And so we see that Moses gave him this admonition. God gave him this admonition. Deuteronomy 31:7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." Go back up. Look at there in the middle of verse 7. It says, "You must." Point at your neighbor and say, "You must." See, there are things in God. How many of you know God gave the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions? What is he saying? You must. All right, now, we yield to God and we say yes to God. But the fact is, the plan and the purpose of God for your life, he is the sovereign God. All right, that is, he is above all. We do not counsel him. All right, and so when he says go, it's time to go. All right. And here he says, you must do this. I don't want to hear what you think about it. This is what God has for you to do. All right. Verse 8, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." That's the word. Discouraged, dismayed, disheartened, prostrate on the ground. Okay, so you're going to face these challenges, but God is going to be with you. So don't ever, ever yield to discouragement. All right, now, Joshua is now the leader. All right, Moses has died and now he's taking his place. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he was heading into battle. He was heading into tough things. Now, so they faced Jericho. God gives them the command of how Jericho will fall, and it did. But that wasn't the last battle. Okay, look at Joshua 8 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. So here comes the same command. Take all the people of war with you and arise. All right. So you cannot be discouraged and arise at the same time. Because to arise means you get up, you go, you obey, you follow the Lord. And go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Look at verse 3. Read this with me, the first three words. 1, 2, 3. So Joshua arose. All right? So he says, don't lay it down. Don't get discouraged. So what did he do? He arose. He got up to obey the Lord. He got up to do the assignment. And all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. He got up, he went, and he did. You see, discouragement will paralyze you. It will stop you. Look at Joshua chapter 10. All right. So God, through Moses, gives them this commandment. He's reminded over and over again. And in specific situations, do not get discouraged when you face a challenge. Joshua 10:24. Now they had captured Amorite kings who had been hiding in a cave. All right. It seems like they were discouraged because God was with Joshua and Israel. So they brought him forth in verse 24. It says, when they brought out those kings to Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. All right. And that was a cultural significance in that day, that when you put your foot on the neck, it was now you don't have authority. I have authority. I am above you and you are dominated. All right. And defeated. So they did that. Verse 25, then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against who you fight. So this is an object lesson. This is saying, I want you to come and see that as these kings are defeated, so will all your enemies as you go forth. Verse 26, afterward, Joshua struck and killed them and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. Now, why did he do kind of what such a gross thing? All right. It was to show that these guys are no longer a problem. You see, obviously, in these days, we didn't have newspapers. There was not TV or radio. So if you were going to use media to get the message across, many times it was a parade. It was a sign. It was something that told people what had happened. Colossians tells us that when Jesus defeated the devil for us, he led him in a spectacle openly, triumphing over him in it. You and I never, ever have to fear the devil. We don't have to be discouraged. And he will threaten, and he will lie, and he will accuse, but we need to know he's defeated. All right? In our life. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28. So, Joshua is commanded not to be discouraged when going into tough situations, when going into battle, where there is risk involved. David overcame discouragement because he knew what God had done for him already. Now we see another place where someone is told not to be discouraged, and they're not necessarily going into battle. They're going into a new phase of life. And I don't know about you, but whenever you step into something new, the chances are you might not do it right, okay? And the chances are that discouragement could set in because you're not sure what you're doing. And really, our whole life is about entering and leaving. Entering one area of life and going into another. All right? Some of you in this room, you're not going to be single forever. All right? So you leave being a single and you enter into marriage. Don't be discouraged. All right? You're going to leave being a student and you're going to enter into a job. Don't be discouraged. All right? But you're going to, maybe one day you're going to leave and you're going to start your own business. All right? Your kids are going to be little, then they're going to get big. Don't get discouraged. The whole of our life, we change, we enter in, and God keeps calling us to do things. All right? So here was an example of Solomon, who was following David, and arguably the greatest king that Israel ever had. The enemies were defeated. Israel was at peace. Money was in the bank. And so now Solomon, who is inexperienced and young, has to face his next challenge. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20. David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." Everybody say, "Do it." "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Here are the divisions of priests and Levites for the service of the house of God. And every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command." So you're about to do something new. You're about to do something for the first time. Don't get discouraged. Don't lay down. Don't do anything. Rise up and do it, is what God told Solomon. And thank God he did. All right. Now, there's another place where God tells two of his servants not to be discouraged. And they're not facing a battle. And they're not necessarily facing a new job. But they're facing an incredibly challenging and difficult assignment. All right? Sometimes we pray a prayer and we say, "God, I yield my life to you. Use me." And then he puts us in a situation and you feel used. Well, you prayed that, didn't you? Okay. And let me just say, every assignment that God gives you does not mean that you're going to be driving on smooth roads, sitting on leather chairs made from calf's skins. All right? Eating five meals a day. You're going to have to do tough stuff. And if you are averse to doing things that are difficult, you will never, ever finish the will of God for your life. You can't be afraid. You can't be a wimp. And you can't always look for the easy road. You have to look for the road of obedience. You have to look for the road that God is calling you to follow. Do you hear that? When Pastor Newberry and his wife, when God called them to Zambia, as Pastor Newberry said, when they were living in Zimbabwe, he said it was the golden age. He said, you know, that where they were in a great church and doing crusades and things were fine. And yet God says, "Move, go." All right. And they move here and they're doing crusades. And then it was tougher. It was more expensive. Everything was brand new. And just when that, all of a sudden that fun was there, then they said, God said, "Start a church." All right. How many of you were with us at the Oasis? You were in the old building. You remember all the flat stone that was there, you know, that we walked on? Pastor Newberry drove his truck to Kapiri Mposhi, put it in his truck, drove it back, and on his hands and knees put that flat stone on the ground. All right. Oh, well, the Lord anointed him to do it. No, he didn't. He just did it. All right. It's not fun. It's hot. It's difficult, but the work had to be done. All right? And so we have to accept assignments from God that are difficult. I've told you this on numerous of times, but every single time that God gave my wife and I an assignment, and when it changed, and it's been about four or five times in our life where God says, "All right, now do this." Every time God gave us a new job, it was bad financially. We knew going in, oh, expenses are going up, income is going down. Oh, but God can't do that. Oh, sure he can. Some of you think that following the plan of God means you're going to be a junior executive, then a middle executive, then a VP, and then the MD. Pew, and life is just going to be awesome. And you're going to start off with a Corolla, and then a Chaser, and then a BM 3 Series, 5 Series, S Class. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Paul got called to cities and assignments where they wanted to kill him. In the middle of the will of God. God said, go here. And he ends up in a Philippian jail with his back opened up. In the midnight hour, what did he do? He sang praises to God. Why? Because he was following the Lord. All right. Now, what are you going to need to follow God into difficult situations? You are going to have courage. And if you yield to discouragement, you will not finish your race. You won't finish your race. I've got my roommate in college. He's a pastor, and he's about 50 years old, and he runs marathons. God bless him. All right. I haven't been inspired to do that yet. All right. But what he tells me, and I've got a sister-in-law that does the same thing, is that your body was not made to run 26 miles. All right. God didn't design it that way. And so in that marathon, there are a number of times where you hit the wall. Your body cannot take the pain. It can't go any farther. So what do you do? What do marathon runners do? They run through the pain. They just keep running. They don't stop. All right. And if you train your body long enough, you just care and it just becomes normal and you do it and you enjoy it. All right. And so we have got to realize that the call of God and the plan of God on our life, it is not a 200 meter dash. It is a marathon. It is a season. It is a long distance, long life run. And we must follow him and we must say yes. All right. So here's somebody that got a very difficult job, and that was Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah chapter 1. So this is the beginning of his life's work, his ministry. God says to him in verse 17, therefore, prepare yourself and arise. There's that word again. And speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed. Discouraged. Don't lay down before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Now, what we know about Jeremiah, his book, it has many chapters. Okay. And because it has many chapters, people that categorize the Bible, we call him a major prophet. Okay. In his day, no one thought of Jeremiah as a major prophet. He was persecuted. He was left for dead. The words that he said were rejected. Okay. Well, but God won't call me to do something like that. What Bible are you reading? God gives tough assignments to tough people. And we're of that breed. We are those kinds of people that God wants to use to do things. Amen. All right. So he says, don't be discouraged. Don't give up when you see their faces. Why? Because they are not going to be happy. You know, I know, you know, Magnus was up here singing and we were enjoying it. And, you know, I can testify. But imagine if he came here and he's up here and everybody's having a good time up here. And all of us, you know, 1200 people, we just look at him like this. We just got fire coming. See, you can sing a song for 5 minutes and kind of push your way through it. This was Jeremiah's life work. That when he spoke, people hated him. People despised what he had to say. Look at somebody else that had it tough. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel. And it's amazing when God is giving him his assignment. He warns him, this probably isn't going to go well. This is going to be tough. Okay. Ezekiel 2 verse 2. And he said to me, so Ezekiel is recounting what God said to him. Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. And the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. Now, Ezekiel is not as acquainted with the children of Israel as God is. God knows the children of Israel and he knows their relatives. He's known them for generations. So God lets Ezekiel in on what he knows. Okay? And it is not happy news. Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them. How many of you know, probably Ezekiel didn't say, hallelujah. Or, man, this is going to be fun. I am sending you to them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, because God's talking about responsibility here, isn't he? You say what I give you to say. As for them, that's up to them. They may hear you, they may refuse. And here's God's prediction. For they are a rebellious house. Yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Why? Because you're going to do your job. Whether they hear you or not, you're going to do your job. Verse 6. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or be dismayed. Same word here. Dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house. Verse 7. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse. For they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. After 8 verses, anybody got an idea of what God thinks of Israel? They're a rebellious house. Do not be like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. All right? And the fact is, and I really believe this, folks, God is looking for people who will not shy away from tough jobs. From tough jobs. And I am so thankful that today in 2013, we understand that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. I am thankful that we understand that he'll provide for us. I'm thankful that we know that he'll heal our body. Amen. All right. But the fact is that while God is good, the world is not. And he sends us. Jesus said, I send you to the wolves. All right. So we've got to be careful. We've got to trust God. All right. But it seems as though Christians more and more today, we just look for everything that is easy. I remember one time interviewing somebody 8 years ago for the church. It was a secretarial job. And I said, well, I always ask people, why do you want to work for Miracle Life? All right. So she said, well, you know, where I work, it's really hard. And, you know, there's a lot of issues. And I just want to work somewhere where there's peace. And I tried not to laugh in her face, but I said, well, ma'am, I said, this is not the job you're looking for. You're going to work harder here than you've ever worked in your life. And there are going to be days where there is no peace. And you're going to deal with difficult people. And sometimes the difficult people, I'm the difficult person. And all the staff said, amen. But we just think that God is obligated to give us comfortable shoes and a lollipop. You're a baby. Grow up. Be like David. Be like Solomon. Be like Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Sign up for the tough stuff. Amen. And please hear me. When we're going to talk about later in this year about serving in the church and how we can help. All right. I need more people to sign up for the parking lot than I do for the choir. Oh, but Pastor, God's called me to an international music ministry. Hallelujah. Serve in the parking lot. Oh, but that's getting in the way of me being known. Sign up and do it anyway. Well, but you know, Pastor, will I'm sure I'll be promoted after a while. No, you might be 20 years in the parking lot. Folks, this is real life. Amen. And here's the other thing. When God promotes you, and when God gives you a tougher assignment, or maybe something that seems bigger, here's the thing. When God gives you more leadership to do, it's harder. It's tougher. It takes more out of you. You have more responsibility and less rights. I remember talking to somebody one day, and I said, you know what? What do you want in life? What do you feel like God wants you to do? I want to be a manager. I said, why? I don't know. I just want to be a manager. See, they wanted the parking space that said manager, and the cell phone that when they showed their friends, the cell phone, you know, I'm a manager. The house that says, I'm a manager. Well, are you willing to work harder than everybody else? Are you willing to get there earlier and stay later? Are you willing to deal with all of the stuff? Are you willing to be responsible? No, I want to be a manager. Well, that's what a manager is. A manager is a steward. A manager is a grown-up. Amen. So we can't be discouraged when God leads us into a tough situation. I remember one time a lady that was an intern with our ministry when we were in South Africa. Moved up to Zambia, Miracle Life. And she saw us at a function one time. And the church at that time, it was beginning, you know, God's hand was on it. And church was about 1,200, 1,300. And she said, come here. I said, Walker, what is it like to pastor a large church? I said, here's what it's like. It's overrated. It's hard. It's difficult. And you could just see all the color went out of. Oh, you mean it's not glorious and you don't fly through the heavens and hear from God and hang out with other bishops? And no, you work your butt off. Amen. I'll say this. Go. Remember we were talking about Joshua? Who were we talking about? Joshua. Joshua arose in verse 8. It says, so he, God says, go get the booty, the spoils. So he arose. So how else could we call that? Joshua got off of his booty to get the booty. Now some of you are awake. All right. I know it's hot in here. All right. But here's what I want us to do. All right. And we've got lots of examples. There's 50 different times in the Old Testament where God says, don't be discouraged. Now, we could get up and we could sing happy songs and that's good. And we can get excited. And I like to get excited. But here's what I want us to focus on is not the emotion of getting over discouragement, but the action that is required. All right. Because every time God said, don't be discouraged, he told people, now go do this. There is a job, there is a task, there is a step. And so David arose. Jehoshaphat and his people, they arose and went to meet the enemy. All right. God always has something for you to do. So what I want us to do, I want to take this sermon and I want to really take it to where we live. Your home, your job, whatever you are facing. And those of us that lifted up our hands and said, you know, this year I have had discouraging situations. That discouragement has gotten into my heart. All right. What was it? Was it a relationship? Was it finances? Was it following the plan of God? Was it the fact that you had to say no to an ungodly boyfriend or girlfriend? And you said no, and there's been no harvest ever since. God, I'm waiting, and you're still waiting. And other people are getting married, right? And you're discouraged. All right, so let's take this to where we live, your situation. And here's what I want us to do. And see, can I get a keyboardist here? I want us to hear from the Lord for ourselves and to ask the Holy Spirit, guide me, because he does. The Bible says he guides us into all truth. What are the steps that God has for us in those areas of discouragement for us to do? What is the action plan? All right? We've got to get out of the committee. We've got to get out of the tea and the biscuits and all the talk. And we've got to get something in our feet and in our hands. There's something that God wants us to do. And I realize that some of you, when the situation that you are in that is discouraging, all right, it's kind of like Goliath. You didn't ask him to come, but he came. All right? You didn't ask for certain people to be crazy, but they are. All right? You weren't looking to get released from your job, but you did. Okay? You didn't want the new boss, but you got one. And it's discouraged you. The question is today, with the Lord, okay, not just out of your mind or the advice of others, but Lord, what do you want me to do in the midst of this situation? Father, I'm asking you, show me what to do. And so here's what I want us to do. I want us to have a time of prayer. Okay? And if you've got something to write on, maybe a church bulletin, we've got places to take notes. You may have a notebook. If you don't have something to write on, okay, raise your hand and the ushers, they'll give you a bulletin. Right? If you don't have something to write, because I want you to write it down. The Bible says when it comes to a vision, this isn't vision, but it says about the vision, write it down. Okay? We want to capture these thoughts that and this direction that God is going to give us today. All right? And so just as he told all these individuals in the Word of God, so God is going to speak to you. All right? Now, we're going to pray. But some of you, the prayer is going to be fairly short. And the reason is, your prayer is going to be more like this. Not necessarily, God, show me what to do. God, I am sorry for not doing what you've already shown me to do. And I repent. And I take responsibility. Because some of you in this place, you already know what to do. The Holy Spirit has already impressed you. There's been confirmations. And you simply need to arise. Now, the wonderful thing about God is when we arise in faith, His power and His grace is activated. All right? We don't ever arise alone. When we arise in faith, God comes through and God is with us. All right? So I want us to pray. And I want you to write some things down. And here's what I want you to do. As you, and again, these are about these tough situations. Maybe something that's new in your life. But whatever was the seed of discouragement, we're going to pray about these things. And God's going to show you what to do. So, when you write those things down, and you have the plan from the Lord, and it might be one or two steps. Here's the next steps to take. I want you to stand to your feet. All right? Then we'll know that you've arisen. You're standing. And we're going to go forward in God. All right? So let's pray this prayer together. Bow your head with me and pray this. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you that you love me. And you've called me. You've assigned me to do wonderful things with you. Father, there might be some new things I'm facing. Some tough situations. Challenges. Giants, people that don't listen. And I refuse to allow discouragement in my heart. I arise today. I arise in faith. And I arise to do what you're leading me to do. And I ask you, Father, clearly show me what are the next steps that you have for me. People to see. Courses to take. Financial decisions. Lord, I will obey you. Thank you for showing me right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And just go ahead right now. Just make your chair an altar to the Lord. And just talk to him right now. Seek him. You can pray in the Spirit. Sometimes our mind is unfruitful, the Bible says. We don't know what to pray as we ought. But seek the Lord. Talk to him right now. And listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And begin to write some of these things down. And as you do, stand to your feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for each and every one. Lord, the assignments, the things that you have for us to do. Thank you, Father. We can take steps. We can say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Action, action, action. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We will arise. We will arise. As you stand to your feet, I would just encourage you, just lift up your hands. Begin to thank God in advance. That's what faith does. Faith praises Him and thanks Him. And what you're thanking Him right now is, Father, I thank you for the courage. I used to lack it, but I have it now. I have the power. I can do this, what you've called me to do, what you've asked me to do. Thank you, Father. Oh, for great grace, great, great grace upon your church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It is you who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we yield to the greater one. We yield to the empowering Spirit of God who lives in us and empowers us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need to know from the Lord. Some of what you're seeking the Lord about, it's not a new thing. Maybe it's something that, in a sense, you almost feel like this has plagued me. This has followed my life. You need to know that it can be different. It can be different. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. As you write these things down, let's stand. Let's stand. We have an assignment. We have steps to take. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you. We love you. For you are good. You are good. You are good. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do. Everybody that's standing, you've got something written down. This can't stay on a list, all right? If you're in a connection group, you need to take this list to connection group, all right? And you need to share with people. These are the three things God has shown me to do. And I need you to check back with me in 4 weeks and 2 months. Ask me how these things are going. All right? But right now, because the people that are standing up, they're in the boat with you. All right? They're in that same place. God showed me some things to do. Maybe there's some people around you that you know, some friends. Or maybe there are people that you don't know. But if they're standing up, just go over to them real quick. All right? Just go over to them real quick and say, hey, I just want to show you. Here's ABC. Here's what God's showing me. And then ask, you can become accountable. And it's good to go public with what God's showing you. So right now, let's just take 2-3 minutes, all right? And let's just share with one another. And I believe it'll be an encouragement and a help to us. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. Now, I just want to encourage you, but if you weren't standing, God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. You're His sheep, and you hear His voice, all right? And He talks today, and He'll show you what to do. Amen? Now, before we... The Bible says that we every joint supplies the body of Christ. And I just... This just got dropped in my heart that as Pastor Newberry is... You know, helped Miracle Life be what it is today, but God gave him another assignment, that there is a supply, and it's a joy to have a financial supply, but there's also a supply in the Spirit. And I want us to pray for him. Pastor Newberry, if you would just come, Pastor William, and I believe there are just some things that God wants to impart to your heart today. Just go ahead and just whatever the Lord put in your heart, Pastor William. Just stretch out your hands to Pastor Newberry.
Thank you.
His assignment is still on.
Thank you.
God is still leading him. Doors are opening, but let's just pray. Just go ahead and pray for him right now as God would lead you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have laid a foundation. And it's upon that foundation, a strong foundation, the house is built. You've lifted this man, O God, from among men to build a foundation, to lay a foundation. Just like Apostle Paul did, he built a foundation. He planted a seed. Apollos watered. And Father, Pastor Walker watered. But you gave the increase to this work.
Yes,
and both Pastor Newberry and Pastor Walker, so important to you. And Father, now, this man who's the foundation has got another assignment in his old age. In Jesus' name, Father, renew his strength.
Yes, Lord.
Uplift
yes,
him,
Father.
Our God.
Strengthen him, Father.
Strengthen him within and out.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Lift him up, O God. Open his eyes again to see places he has never seen. To touch the untouched. In all these, Father, he will lack nothing good. The psalmist says, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his bread, nor his seed lack bread. And Father, we pray that the supply for this new assignment, be constant in Jesus' name. And whatsoever has been will be, O God, stepped up in Jesus' name. It shall increase from the level it is to greater levels. Heaven, those heavenly doors have opened. Heavenly windows have opened. And supply will come in a manner you have never imagined.
You
shall not be afraid. You shall not be discouraged. You shall not be concerned about what you eat, what takes you from one place to the other. For the Lord your God shall supply and shall meet all your needs according to his riches in glory
Thank
in Christ.
The
level of anointing shall increase upon your life in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord
Thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Pastor Newberry, I just felt these words come up. Do what you know to do. And more will be given. There are things that need to be settled and sorted, and you're doing that. But as you do them, do not be surprised when the next assignment comes. It'll be bigger. It'll be bigger. It'll be bigger. Because you can be trusted. You can be trusted with more. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And you may say, I can't do that. But it's not just you. It's the greater one. It's the one who's called you. It's the one who gave you the power year after year after year to go and to change and to leave country, to leave countries and to obey. And he knows. The Father knows you can be trusted. And so there's more to do. Oh, and this next assignment, it'll be so fulfilling. Things that have been in your heart that have never yet come to pass, you'll be doing them and you'll say, this is it.
Hallelujah.
I saw this. I saw this. Oh, and a great sustaining power.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, for every need met. Every need met, Father. Physically, Father, in his heart, in emotions, Father, I thank you for calling. Just like, Lord, there were 30,000 men with Joshua, Father, I thank you for the people that you've assigned, to help get the job done. Your job. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just right now, let's just bow our heads. And there's one more thing that God wants to do today. If you're here in this place and, you know, we're talking about what God has asked us to do and the assignment that he has for our life. All of that happens because he loves us and he loves people. And he wants to use our life in service to him. And he takes good care of his kids. But if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you can be. 2,000 years ago, Jesus made everything possible when he died for you and he took your place and he paid every part of your debt to God. And he offers you a gift of new life, of forgiveness, of restoration. You don't have to give up. This doesn't have to be the end. But you have to, in order for your life to be fulfilled, it must be done with God. And maybe you're here today and you've been frustrated and it seems like things are not working out because God's not in your life. You're not in his family or you're a backslidden Christian and you turned your back on God and you know you're not going God's way. And he can't help you because you're not with him. Oh, but he loves you and he cares for you and he's ready to come into your life. And as we sang that song today, you're forgiven. But you have to receive that today. You have to say yes. If you're here in this place and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or I'm backslidden, I need to come home to him, and today is my day to make things right with God, just lift up your hand right now. Say, that's me. I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I'm coming to him now. Or I'm coming home from a place of sin and rebellion. I'm giving my heart to him now. Anybody? You say, that's me. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I'm saying yes to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Over here? Yes. Over here. Anybody else? Don't miss this opportunity. God loves you so much. All right? If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, you know God's tugging on your heart. I want you to grab whatever you brought with you to church and just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray a prayer together. God's going to come into your heart and your life, and everything, the Bible says, will be made new. All right? Let's just give them, I know somebody from over here, anybody else, you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Just come right now. He loves you. He cares for you. He's a good God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is your day. God bless you, sir. Amen. All right. If I were going to give you this book, this Bible, and I paid for it, it was going to be a gift, how would you get it? You would reach out, right? And that's what faith is. We're going to trust God right now. And brand new life, forgiveness, grace, it's free. But we receive that by faith. Are you ready? Let's just lift up our hand towards heaven and just say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your son. He died in my place. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. You live in me. I turn away from every sin, from every wrong thing, and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.